Hello and welcome to episode 57 of TechAU. My name is Jason Cartwright. Very happy to have you with me once again for this exciting edition of TechAU, where we talk about the world technology issues and specifically focus on Australia. Let's kick it off this week with a story about Telstra. Telstra will launch their 4G mobile service, 4G USB dongle, on the 29th of August. It's going to be $0 up front, $49 plan for 24 months. Obviously, you've got to commit, and you'll get 7 gig of data for doing that. This is for business customers only. Obviously, as the 4G network rolls out, then consumers may be able to come online at some point later in the year, perhaps next year. So, the other details is you're only going to be able to get it if you're in Sydney, Melbourne, or Brisbane and within 5 kilometres of the GPO or the post office. So CBDs we're talking about. If you're in the heart of these cities, then you'll be able to get 4G speeds on Telstra. And what happens if you're not in those areas? Well, the modem fails back to 3G speeds. So it's not like you're out of service. You just go back to normal network speeds. So the next G speeds, if you like. Talking about speeds, how fast can you expect to get on Telstra's 4G? That is the big question. They haven't come out and said. They haven't said we'll get 100 meg, although that is typically what international 4G providers are offering. So it's definitely going to be faster than 3G. It's definitely going to zap your battery more than 3G. But for those times where you really need fast data on the go, 4G mobile broadband from Telstra could be the way to go. We haven't seen many, if any, 4G handsets in Australia yet, and it's doubtful the next iPhone will be 4G. Obviously, if this is just launching now, this is their best network in Australia for 4G, and it's just starting. The penetration just isn't there to offer Apple the reason to implement it in their phones just yet. So this isn't an iPhone story, but I just wanted to touch on that because there has been a lot of speculation online about Apple integrating 4G in the next version. I personally don't think that's going to happen, but we'll wait and see. And that is due out October-ish is the latest rumor at the moment. Moving on, I want to give you some details about a sponsor for the podcast. One More Thing is a conference for iOS developers, and it's happening in Melbourne this month. Get in quick because it's only a couple of weeks away. Saturday, 13th of August, the One More Thing conference will allow you as an iOS developer to get insights from people who have been there and done that, people who have been successful in the App Store and knows what it takes to stand out from the crowd, if you like. So go over to onemorething.com.au, check out the speaker lineup, and then go and buy a ticket and attend on the day. I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic time. It is in Melbourne, so if you're not in Melbourne, you better find your way there and go to the One More Thing conference. Check it out, guys. I think you'll like it. Next story is Avatar Kinect is now available on Xbox 360. So there's a section, if you go into the Kinect section of the 360, something called Kinect Labs. There's a number of little mini games, if you like, or things you can do with your Kinect. And a new one just shown up in there this week, or in the last couple of weeks, is Avatar Kinect. It was shown off earlier in the year with Steve Ballmer up on stage, and he came on the big screen showing off, you know, facial movements being picked up by Kinect. That's exactly what it does. So you can raise your eyebrows, you can talk, and it's all synced with what your character does on screen. What's not tracked is finger movements. So you can move your entire arm, but you can't move your individual fingers. I'm sure that's potentially coming down the track, but right now it's fairly limited. You can't also move side to side with your character. You can't step side to side like you do in a game. Avatar Kinect, you have a physical, your character is locked to a physical position. There are multiple environments and multiple sets with multiple camera angles. So if you're doing like a talk show, you can imagine they don't just stick on the same shot the entire time. They take multiple cameras that, pan around and stuff. You can have individual chat sessions and record it and share it online. You can chat with groups. It's actually quite cool to try out. I haven't found too many uses where it would keep me going in all the time. Obviously, it is in labs. That sort of indicates that it's in development. Hopefully, by the time a real technology ships with it. And I guess that really means games shipping with, facial recognition. That's probably going to be, maybe 6 months away. So, a little bit of a wait, but it does show the potential you know, technology that's inside Kinect that we, you know, a lot of Xbox owners already have right now. So look forward to more games coming with more features of Kinect in the future. But right now, you can go and download Avatar Kinect. I want to talk to you about Windows Phone 7, give you a bit of an update if you like. And the next release of Windows Phone 7 is 7.5, and it's called Mango. The code name is called Mango, and I have my Samsung Omnia here, and I'd like to show you and really give you a detailed, in-depth look at what's coming. Unfortunately, I can't, and this is the craziness of being a developer. So, because I am going to develop apps for Constructive on Windows Phone 7, under that developer agreement, I was able to get 7.5 on the device. I have it, I love it, but the developer agreement still prevents developers from talking about it publicly. You can't write blog posts, you can't take screenshots, definitely can't do a video podcast on it. And that's just insane to me because they have already given devices to press. Press, like Engadget, Gizmodo, TechCrunch, everybody under the sun has already published a lot of the changes in 7.5, yet as a developer, we can't talk about it. It's absolutely ludicrous and I want that to change. And as soon as it does, I'll definitely bring the latest news to you. I have suspicion it's not going to before the release. So, I just hope that the next version, the next OS update, that they rethink that because I think it's sort of misguided to allow, we'll put press in one bucket and not realize that in some instances, like myself, is that I have in one aspect of my life, I am a developer, and in another, I'm, you know, doing the press thing and covering these things. So I would like to talk about my experiences and I can't. And I certainly don't want to risk losing my developer access just to bring you the news. So right now, all I'm going to have to do is point you to other sites online and go check out their reviews because there has been a lot of coverage of the new features. And based on that, it is looking good. Playing catch up somewhat. I'm still waiting for this list of 500 features that is meant to be coming. Because they guarantee me that it is 500 new features, not fixes. So let's wait and see. But let's move on from Mango. Google Plus, I want to give you my opinion. It's been out for about a month now, I guess, and a lot of you are already on Google Plus. There's around 20 million users is the latest number for that, which is, you know, a pretty awesome figure. I mean, I think it's one of the fastest growing, if not the fastest growing user adoption of any social network, which is fantastic. And it really shows the might of Google. When you put that Google branding and strength behind it, you can really achieve some really good numbers really fast. So my concern with it is that I haven't personally found a lot of use for it. It's another social network that I can take or leave if you like. It's you know, in the dying throes of MySpace, I mean, you could either post stuff on there and have very minimal amount of percent of your audience actually see it versus the, you know, bigger audiences you've built up on the other services. What I'm trying to say, basically, is Facebook and Twitter do everything that I need. The coolest feature about Google Plus was Hangouts, and I find very occasional uses for Hangouts, but it's not something I'm going to go in there day to day. The best thing that Google has done is that plus button when you hit plus one on an article, it just increments by one and it adds it to what you like. So it shares that to your audience. That is the most seamless plus one or sharing mechanism that any of the services offer. If you share something using the Facebook share icon or like, then usually there's a dialogue, you get presented with a graphic, you got to choose which image from the site, you get to customize what the text is that gets posted on your wall, and then you hit post. So there's a two-three step process to post something. Same with Twitter, or what I find a lot with Twitter is it never saves your password. So if you try and share something from a site, it asks all the time, you know, for that site to have permission, and it also gives you the ability to customize, which is great at times, but I wish there was a default setting where you could just hit the, I want to tweet this out, grab the title from the post and the link and tweet that out. But Google has really nailed the ability just to hit one button and have that taken care of seamlessly. It's fantastic. So that is a really good point of Google+. But do I think it's going to kill Facebook? No. Do I think it's going to hurt Twitter? No, not at all. I think these other networks already have critical mass, and Google will have a place to play in that. There's certainly an enthusiast audience in there, certainly the tech crowd. But I've had one out of my entire networks of hundreds of friends and contacts, probably 1,000 actually. I've had one person that I know in day-to-day life add me on Google+, you know, a regular non-tech kind of person. And that's just because of the hype that was around it, and they checked it out and they got there and they said, you better tell me why I need to use this because I don't know, I don't understand it. And I really couldn't provide them, you know, really decent reasons to spend time in Google+ and developing on there. So I don't know. That's my feeling about it. Other people I've read online, Jason Calacanis swears by it. He says he's getting much, much better engagement on Google+ than anything he posts on Twitter or Facebook. So I don't know if that's just because those high-profile people, the Robert Scobles of the world and Leo Laportes, if they're, you know, they have a different experience because they have a mass audience, or whether every average day people just aren't going to find a use for Google+. Who knows? Google's obviously put their money and might behind it. So check it out and let me know what you think. Post on Google Plus and hook me up if you want, and convince me if I'm wrong. Cool. So on to gaming news now. Borderlands 2. Borderlands last year was a huge, huge game for me. I loved the hell out of it. Had a heap of LAN parties with friends playing through Borderlands 1. Huge game, and unlike many multiplayer online games, there's no subscription fee or anything. It's just this, you pay once and you get to play, you do level up. You know Borderlands, you've all played it, and the good news here that came out this week is Borderlands 2 has been confirmed. It is in development, and it's coming out 2012 to 2013, so mid-year next year. To, I guess, 12 months from that. They haven't set a date, and it's probably early in the development, so it is too far out to set a firm date. But that's great news that it is at least in development, and they will be offering a first look at the game at GamesCon 2011, which happens August 17th to August 21st. And also, it's going to be on display at PAX Prime, which is August 26th to August 28th. So later in the month, mid to late month, expect more news, and I expect every subsequent month after that, there's going to be more details about Borderlands 2 coming out. Fantastic game, and I highly recommend that you look out for that. Alrighty, conference time, and I got some good news this week, and that is that I will be attending, once again, TechEd. So Microsoft's key or primary tech conference of the year. It's effectively a week-long conference, but primarily a few days, 30th to the 2nd of September. Sorry, 30th of August to the 2nd of September. I'm going to be going. And so if you're there and you want to hook up, you want to grab coffee, you want to grab a drink, a beer, whatever, let me know. And I'll definitely try to make that happen. I want to meet more of you from the Gold Coast or from Queensland. But people travel all over Australia to the conference. It is on the Gold Coast. And hey, if we're going to do business, there's worse places in the world to do that. Huge, huge week. It is always draining and killer, but so, so worth it for the people that you meet, the networking that gets done. And, I'm not being sponsored by Microsoft to say that. I'm going off my own experience for the last few years. This will be, I think, my sixth tech ed, and have a blast every single time. Come home absolutely drained because I've been working my butt off. You go to the sessions through the day, cover all the news, interviews, and you can expect all that this year again. But then you go out, have a couple of drinks, meet some people, and then I'll be back in the motel room, likely editing videos to all crazy hours of the morning. So I think this year is going to be an interesting year. We are in an interesting position. Windows 7 obviously has been well established. Most organizations are into or completed their rollouts of Windows 7 by now. Really, the focus is shifting to Windows 8 with the Build conference in September, which is sold out, by the way. But the good news there about Build is it's going to be streamed online a lot of the sessions. So just if you can't make it, you can watch it online. Fantastic. I don't know, given that it hasn't been you know, there's not a lot of details, and they won't come out until build. I suspect TechEd will be pretty light on in Windows 8 coverage. I think Windows Phone 7 will feature pretty heavily, 7.5 will feature heavily at TechEd, because I think the release date for that will be sometime around TechEd. That would be great if it matches up. And a bunch of new devices for those as well. But I'm interested to see what else Microsoft has on offer. And you can be assured that all that technology coverage will be at techau.tv. So stay tuned during the week of 30th of August to the 2nd of September. Alrighty, Census night. Tomorrow night is going to be the night where the government basically give a huge survey to Australia and say, tell us what you want, how do you guys live, and where should we head with our planning for the country, for the future. So it's the biggest collection of data that occurs on, I believe, a three-year-ish cycle, and it's time to do that again. And obviously now things are moving online. There is the ability to submit your census online. So we all by now should have received the paper version hanging on your door, and the idea is you'd fill that out and send it back. Well, you know, thanks to technology, we can actually do that a little bit more efficiently and submit it online, and they'll know a lot of those results that night. And it's expected to up to one third of Australians will do this, submit their census online. I certainly will be. I very rarely post things these days unless I absolutely have to. And so yeah, I'll be doing my census online. Will you? I think you should. And the reason I say that is just, you know, it's quite a lot easier than mailing it back. And personally, I would have loved to them had asked if I was going to do it online prior to sending out the paper version. Obviously, they've cut down all those trees and, you know, I'm not a huge greenie, but I am conscious of the fact that we're trying not to use so much paper and all the processing and time and energy that goes into delivering that paper pamphlet or booklet on my door could have been avoided had I had the chance to nominate, yes, I will do this online, don't bother going and creating one of those for me. And I think a lot of other people could have done that as well. So I'll just do it online, don't send me the paper. That would have been good. But unfortunately, we're still doing that. We're still getting yellow pages on the door. Hopefully the government sort of picks up on that, and maybe that's something I can answer in the census to say, yeah, you need to rethink that. If there's a common area, I'm certainly going to do that. Anyways, yeah, so that's, by the time most of you see this, I think the census will have happened. It is Tuesday, 9th of August, and all I can do is encourage you to fill that out accurately as possible. And the reason I say that is because planning decisions for infrastructure and et cetera are made based on data that comes out of the census. So if you're not putting in the right data, you know, it's that whole garbage in, garbage out. If they're not getting the right data, then they're not going to make the right decisions based on that. That's it, census. And next story is, I had a bit of a challenge / email this week. Somebody asked me to go track down information regarding Twitter and the Twitter conversation in my area and tell them how, a number of things basically. Tell them who are the most prolific Twitters in the area, what are they writing about, and generally what is the conversation that's happening from people in this area. Now, you'd think, given that Twitter search is pretty comprehensive, you go to the advanced section, there's a lot of fields you can filter on, you'd think that that'd be a reasonably easy task to do, but it turns out not so much. A lot of what I found out was that the Twitter search services and tools, desktop clients or mobile, whatever it be, they typically index the contents of the tweet and base their results on that, not on people's profile information. So if 300 people in Wodonga had identified in their profile that, you know, Wodonga was their hometown or their location, there's not really good tools to search profile information. So show me all the tweets from people with location equals Wodonga. That's what I wanted. And that's really hard to get hold of. And then once you've found those people, who were the most, you know, followed and information like that. So the closest I could get was tweeps.com, T-W-E-E-P-Z.com. This service was the closest. Unfortunately, the data was pretty inaccurate. It said that I was still on 1,900 followers when I actually have over 2,600 now. So it's the closest but almost unusable or useless, given that the data isn't correct or can't be validated. So that's interesting. If you guys know of a service that allows me to achieve what I was setting out to do, then certainly let me know. Or it could be an opportunity for somebody to build a client, because there is obviously need to sort out what's being talked about in an area. Now, obviously, you can search on those terms, Wodonga or Albury or Lavington, and that's what I do. I run a TweetDeck column with that all the time. Now, that keeps me somewhat updated on what the discussion is around my area. That's fine, except for anybody can write a tweet with those words in. It doesn't mean they're the people in this area that are talking about this area. So somebody from Melbourne can write, blah, 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 going to Wodonga this weekend, and that tweet shows up. Where I want to exclude that kind of stuff, I just want to know the people from here. Anyway, the other extension was that the localized trends are only for Sydney, or the capital cities. They're not down to regional cities, at least not yet. And GPS location, if you do use the advanced search on Twitter and you go location equals Wodonga, for instance, the tweets are only for the last 24 hours. So what really we need is 7 or 30 days of data to formulate trends based on, you know, to define what people are really talking about, the trends of the discussion in the area. And unfortunately, I couldn't find a tool to do that. So if you want to build one, certainly let me know. If the Twitter API is limited so that you can't do that, let me know that as well. Be really interested to find that out. Anyways, the final story for this week is JB Hi-Fi, and this came out today. JB Hi-Fi now is going to be a music streaming service from JB Hi-Fi. I don't know either. Why the hell JB Hi-Fi would enter in this the streaming music service, I don't know. They are an electronics retailer. They do sell a lot of music, albums, and singles in their store. I guess if you could extend their business out, it does make somewhat of a sense that they would enter online music. But, you know, typically we're used to streaming services come from the big guys, right? So Microsoft with their Zune service, or Sony with their Curiosity, or any of the big guys. Now, there is Norbus FM, which I've spoken about before with the Sonos, but you have to own a Sonos, which is really annoying. I really wish they got rid of that requirement and just open it up to everybody. I think a lot more people would do it. It's like $12.99 a month and you get unlimited streaming. The Zune service is fantastic and I want it to come to Australia. It's just not yet. And they seem to be completely unable to get the music deals done with the labels that allows them to bring Zune to Australia. And the reason I like Zune over most of the other services is that you get to download and keep 10 tracks a month, as well as, you know, so you're $15 a month that you're paying, you get access to all the services, all the songs in their catalog, the millions of tracks. And then you get to keep some. So if you stop paying for the service, you don't end up with nothing like the others. You end up with a collection of 10 songs you've gathered each month. Perfect, right? That's a good in-between middle ground. So actually, if you look at the cost of the value of the service, it's down to around about $5 a month. So obviously, that's going on US prices. We don't know what it'll land here for in Australia. But right now, you know, people with Windows Phone 7s don't have a music service. Right, that's ridiculous right now. And no wonder the traction of Windows Phone 7 is somewhat limited, because if you don't have a media solution, somewhere for people to buy and get new music to their devices and video, that's really going to make your hardware platform struggle. So right now, what are people expected to go to iTunes and buy music? And I tell you, if you're somebody who keeps up to date with the latest music, buying the latest music gets really expensive really quick. So we need a better solution to that. And it's clear internationally, music services are coming. That is the way the future of music will be done, in subscription. So small monthly subscription costs for everybody across Australia, and the music label should be happy. So why aren't they signing these deals? I don't know. It frustrates the hell out of me. And I want this to happen. So JB are going to do it. There's no pricing right now, which is puzzling, but okay. So it's coming closer towards the end of this year /2012, and it's going to be available for Mac, PC, and mobile. So expect iPhone, Android, possibly Windows Phone 7 clients. Between 6 and 8 million tracks from 100,000 artists. That's a pretty big chunk of change from the overall music library. So, you know, that's rivaling iTunes for sure. So, and my question is, you know, if this is successful and people start investing in this infrastructure, you know, in this service, and they commit to that, does that tie them in? And is Zune really missing out on what really should have been achieved by now? Anyway, and then the other, I guess, can of worms to throw in there is, will Apple offer their streaming services? And if they do, they're somebody who has license, not streaming license, but has license with the music artists internationally around the world, more than anybody else. So they could come in overnight, announce their music streaming services, and because of the penetration of their mobile devices, they could own this market. So anyway, it's all interesting, and streaming services for music coming to you soon. That is going to wrap it up for this week's edition of TechAU. It's an action-packed, a lot of content this week. I hope you've enjoyed it. Hit me up at jason@techau.tv. That's the email, the website, you know it, techau.tv. And make sure you tell your friends. But I'm most active on Twitter, so @techau. Follow me there, and be happy to join up with you and have an intelligent chat about technology. Catch you later, guys. Bye.